Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Daryl Cauldron. Daryl is the owner of Fine Feather Ranch, which is up at the top of Humboldt Hill, just south of Eureka. And he's been involved lately in producing organic eggs and soon to be producing organic meat chickens. And those are available at the farmer's market. Daryl, how did you decide that you wanted to start a ranch?
Well, I started out just living on the property. My landlords also live on the property. And it started out just with a small flock of chickens for myself, and gradually that expanded into ducks and turkeys and rabbits and goats. And at some point last year, I decided I'd like to try to give it a go professionally.
And how many chickens do you have up there?
Right now I've got about 150 laying hens.
That's a lot of chickens.
Yeah.
Okay. And right now, since you're such a small operation, you are now a registered organic ranch up there. Mm-hmm. Can you explain the difference between registered and certified?
Well, for registered organic, it's the option for the really small farms. Basically, you can sell up to $5,000 worth of product annually. And if you want to sell any more than that, then you need to be certified. And the main difference is that with certification, they inspect you more often, and you also pay a lot more fees to cover the expenses of the inspections.
And do you have to abide by the same regulations?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's all the same. You know, all inputs have to be organic. Your chickens have to be all organically fed. And when they start out as chicks, you've got 2 days to do any sort of vaccinations you want to do. And then after that, all inputs have to be organic.
Okay. Do you find that the chickens that you raise are pretty hardy, and that's a really good place to raise chickens?
Mm-hmm. You know, I've experimented this last year with a lot of different breeds, this year's mostly been trial and error. And some breeds are certainly hardier than others. You know, there's the Cornish cross meat breed, which is the standard industrial breed that you see, that are the big ones that can barely get around. And those do not do very well on pasture. They're just not built for walking around. They're basically meant for factory farms.
Yeah, that's one of the things I notice. I've bought some chicken locally and just really noticed that when you go to bake a chicken, like a whole chicken, and you go to take it apart, chickens that actually walk on their legs and have flapped their wings before have a completely different constitution mm-hmm. than the chickens that have been, you know, kind of crammed into close quarters and never really moved around much.
Yeah, absolutely. In pasture-raised birds or free-range birds, you can really see an actual difference in light meat and dark meat. You know, birds that are raised in factory farms and can't get around just don't develop the muscles as well. And they're actually a fatter bird, have a higher fat content, and they're less healthy for the consumer.
Okay. Now, when you do start producing chickens for meat chickens, and you start producing those and selling them to the public, how are you going to go about doing that? How are you going to process them?
Well, locally, there's a Humboldt Poultry Co-op that has a trailer that has all the processing equipment. Killing cones, a scalder, a chill tank. You basically have to have a certified operation to do that. And you can rent out the trailer, and then you're okay to sell.
Yeah, and that's a really nice trailer. I've actually had the opportunity to go inside and see it's like all nice stainless steel, super clean
mm-hmm.
equipment is all there. Somebody has thought out, you know, all the things that you're going to need to be able to be really successful at doing this and being able to chill the animals really quickly so that mm-hmm. you have really safe product as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are really nice. And then it's a trailer too, so you can just, you know, trail it over to your farm, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the less transportation of your live chickens, the better.
I think that's true with all animals.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've just really
yeah.
noticed the difference having had an animal that was killed and butchered on site versus, you know, being taken into a place to have that done. There's a really difference in the texture of the meat and the flavor of the meat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
just all that, you know, anxiety.
And the biggest thing for me is if you're going to raise something to eat, you should, in my opinion, give it the best life you possibly can and as stress-free a death as you can. And that's really what I strive to do is, you know, organic is very important to me, but even more important is happy, healthy animals.
Yeah. And the killing cones, explain how those work, because I think that's part of it.
Yeah. Well, it's a restraint cone. Basically, it's like if you picture a stainless steel traffic cone upside down, you put the bird in so that its head comes out the bottom and it's sort of pinned in there so it can't flap around and hurt itself while it bleeds out. And then you you cut the throat. It's pretty quick.
And you kind of hang them upside down.
Yeah, they're upside down, so it's very quick. It's sort of a instant cut and then a head rush, and they're pretty out of it immediately.
Yeah,
so.
I've experienced that as well, and it is a pretty quick process there.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way to get around the fact that you're taking a life, and it's certainly not pleasant, but, you know, if you want to eat meat, there's a price to be paid by something.
Right, and it's good to know that it's been handled in the right way, too. Mm-hmm. If you're going to eat meat, then do it responsibly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so how many meat animals do you think you're going to be raising?
I'll probably start out with 100 at a time, maybe 150, but probably batches of about 100.
And about how long does it take to raise them to the point where they're ready to butcher?
Depends on the breed. The industrial Cornish crosses generally take about 6 weeks. Heritage breeds take a lot longer, more like 16 weeks. The ones that I'll probably be starting with are a cross between the two. They're called red broilers or freedom rangers. They gain weight really fast, but not at an unhealthy rate like the Cornish crosses. So they're hardy, they get fully feathered, they forage very well, they eat a lot of grass and bugs and things like that. So those are about 9 to 11 weeks.
And for regular feed, I mean, I know they do forage a certain amount and get some insect life and grass into their diets, but where do you go to get the organic feed?
Well, the feed that I really like is from California. It's called Modesto Mills. They're a small independent grain producer down in the Central Valley. And they've got all sorts of high-quality organic grains.
That's nice that it's relatively local, because I'm always thinking, you know, if it's coming all the way from the Midwest, how efficient is this
exactly.
for us to be raising chickens?
You know, organic is great, but if it's shipped halfway across the world, then that sort of cancels out any benefit.
Yeah. What are some of the things that you like about that breed? Is it also an egg layer, or do you use a different breed for that?
The Freedom Rangers?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's strictly meat. For egg layers, I've tried a number of different breeds, but the ones I really like are Barred Rocks, White Leghorns, and Americanas, which are the ones that lay the nice, pretty blue eggs.
Those are beautiful.
Really like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are nice. And I'm also interested in some other rare breeds of poultry, like the Bielefelter, which is a relatively new breed in the U.S. It's from Germany, and they're a good dual-purpose breed. Their roosters are good for meat, and the hens are very good at egg laying. And they have an auto-sexing gene in them, where when they hatch, you can immediately tell the roosters from the hens, so you can start them out on appropriate feeds. And
oh, okay, and then move the roosters over to the meat section and move the hens over to the egg-laying section.
Yeah.
Okay. And now, do you allow some of your hens to actually brood on their own eggs and raise chicks from their own eggs?
Yeah,
I mean, I know
absolutely.
It seems like a straightforward thing, but it's something that's just not done anymore.
Yeah, a lot of farms do sort of an in-and-out method where they'll buy an entire year's worth of hens, let them do their thing, and then at the end, they'll cull them all and start over with a fresh flock. But I sort of would like to be able to breed all of my own birds, which is what I'm planning to do eventually, because industrial hatcheries, you know, for every hen that is given out, there's also a rooster that's probably just been culled.
Yeah.
So industrial hatcheries are not the most efficient system when it comes to that. There's a lot of loss of life. So that's why I'm interested in the dual purpose breeds that get use out of the roosters as well.
I'm wondering about, you know, some of the other organic requirements for or raising animals organically, some of the feed we know about and some of the, you know, how do you deal with sick animals? I think one of the things that people don't realize is when an animal is sick, I mean, you are required to do something about that. It's not just like, oh, it's organic. I can't do anything. I just have to let it suffer and die. So what do you do when you see something like that?
Well, you know, there's limited options. Whatever medicine you're going to put in has to be on the approved list. Fortunately, knock on wood, I haven't really had any issues yet. The biggest thing that organic producers have to worry about is prevention. So you have to really be meticulous in cleaning your coops and nest boxes and waterers and feeders. And when you do have a bird that you think might be sick, you isolate it immediately. And more often than not, cull it. But yeah, prevention is the biggest thing. And otherwise, there's pretty limited options because you can't use antibiotics or anything like that.
Okay. Now, if people want to get a hold of you to get either meat chickens or to get eggs, how do they go about doing that?
Well, I don't have a website at this point, but they can always find me at the farmer's market or send me an email. So my email is finefeatherranch@gmail.com. And phone number is 707-407-0793.
Well, this is great, having the opportunity to talk to a young farmer about raising organic chickens for eggs and for meat. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Daryl Cauldron, owner of Fine Feather Ranch. Thank you so much, Daryl.
Thank you.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.